760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Well, good morning. I'm Allison Dole. So happy that you're here along with us. And what a beautiful Thursday it is. A nice, cool morning.
It is. I went for a walk this morning, and it was good and crisp.
Oh, nice.
I didn't work up a real bad sweat, and it was awesome.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I swam indoors, so it was awesome, too.
There you go.
Well.
And there's Josh. How are you, Josh?
I'm good. It'll be better when we kick off this prayer. I'll just say in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is Mary's Magnificat, straight out of Luke 1:46. And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked upon his handmaid's lowliness. Behold, from now on all ages will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is from age to age to those who fear him. He has shown might with his arm, dispersed the arrogant of mind and heart. He has thrown down the rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the lowly. The hungry he has filled with good things, the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy according to his promise to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. God, help us anchor our hearts with a posture of humility, just like the Blessed Mother." In Jesus' name we pray, in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Beautiful prayer, Josh. Beautiful prayer.
Yeah, beautiful prayer. We got to pray just to make it today.
Well, and Mother Mary, just her saying, you know, my soul rejoices in, you know, my God, my Savior. I mean, just so an open vessel to God's holy will for her.
Yeah. I think if you're in a hot spot and it's like you're wondering, am I going to have the willingness to say yes to God at this moment? A good prayer to say in that moment, I think, is exactly what Mary said when the angel Gabriel appeared to her and, you know, proclaimed the Annunciation.
Oh, yeah.
She just said, "May it be done to me according to thy word."
Amen.
And maybe if we're in a hot spot, we just say, "Lord, may it be done to me according to thy word. Help me be willing to be willing."
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I need some willingness right now because I've started this whole 30 diet with a friend.
What's that?
Well, it's no dairy, no sweets, no sugar, no happiness.
Well, no, hold on.
No joy.
Hold on. Okay, you don't eat sweets. You don't eat sugar. I mean, if anything, dairy, but I don't even think you eat dairy.
You know, I could rifle through like a pack of gum in a day.
Oh.
And I would sometimes put stevia in things and other, you know, like little sweeteners.
Oh, so not even stevia.
No condiments. It is penitential. But I will say, I actually think I'm feeling a little clearer, a little sharper. My energy seems a little cranked
up, too.
Good. I'm doing my double hand clap a lot more because I'm so excited all the time. So,
Josh, I'm so glad you shared that with everybody.
Yeah, I think it's having.
You've got
so
many talents, Josh. Yeah. I'm telling you.
This is, if y'all don't know, that's the one-handed clap I can do. So it's one. This is just one hand. Can you hear it? And then this is another. And then you put it together. It's.
Which we need to do that for the traffic reports.
For the chopper. We're the Quest chopper right now. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But then once we get cameras in here and they see that, we're canceled immediately. What is wrong with that person?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even speak.
Well, how about you, Dave? Any big news?
Well, nothing big. We had a flat tire. We got a used car for my wife.
You got a new used car?
A new, right.
When is a flat tire?
Well, it's sitting in the driveway and it went flat. So I take it to this place up by our house and it's a tire place. And the guy said, "Oh, we can't repair that." He said, "It's an old tire. It's dry rotted."
Uh-huh.
He said, "If I take it off the rim, we'll never get it back on."
What?
And so he gave me a quote for some new tires. So on the way home, I'm like, "Oh man, we got to buy a set of tires on this vehicle." And so I stopped at this other place on the way home. I'm like, you know, let's just see if they'll fix it. They fixed it for me.
Wow.
Okay, so this is a very relevant story. I've shared with some people in here recently, like I went to a car dealership for the to get some service for the car I had. It was rumbling. I mean, I was in the car to stop. It was just start shaking like a blender. I was like,
you know,
it was
car?
Yeah. This was about a month ago. I mean, it was nice because my seat turned into a massage chair very briefly.
Gosh.
Well, if you had heated seats, you got the heat in the massage.
You know, I actually did have heated seats.
Did you turn the heat on?
Yeah, it was like I would have paid money for that at the mall. But anyway. So I'm at this dealership, they say just to diagnose the problem,
$3,000. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, you ever been in a dealership? You're like, I am getting hustled, and I cannot do anything about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying a dealership, any kind of car service place, but this particular spot. So then they say, by the way, worst case scenario, $11,000 for an engine replacement.
Oh,
we think
gosh.
It's probably going to be an engine replacement. But before we can even come to that conclusion, you need to, you know, fork over $3,000 for us to take apart the engine.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm like, really? And it's I don't know what to do. The car was there for almost a month. And so I finally take it to this other independent shop that specializes in this particular car. They fixed it for under $700.
Praise God,
wow.
The engine, yeah. They put some new brakes on, so I was still out for, I got out the door for under $1,000. But, hey, that beats $11,000.
Yeah. Well, we would have had to do our own pledge drive just for that.
Exactly. Rest assured, your money is going to the right place now.
Absolutely.
Just ahead on the Morning Quest.
Liz Youngs and Trini Siegel, with Path are talking about their mentorship program and upcoming Rachel's Vineyard Retreat taking place October 17th and 19th. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Denis, Bishop and Martyr. Father Reback, Pastor St. Mary Magdalene, unpacks the gospel of the day. But next, Katherine Anderson with Catholics for Marriage Restoration and Bob Abeka with Witness to Marriage discuss the upcoming Mass and Retreat for separated and divorced men and women seeking to conform themselves to God's truth and His will for their lives, called What God Has Joined. It takes place October 22nd through 24th.
I am so delighted to have Katherine Anderson with me. She represents Catholics for Marriage Restoration and also Bob Abeka. He is with Witness to Marriage, and they are both here to talk about an important mission and retreat that is coming up. It's a second annual one here in Atlanta, and it's called What God Has Joined, and it's October 22nd through the 24th. So I am thrilled to have you both here talking about this beautiful mission. And before that, I know, Bob, you are with Witness to Marriage. Can you talk about that and just kind of make people aware of this beautiful ministry?
Sure. Witness to Marriage is an apostolate in the Archdiocese of Atlanta, and our purpose is to assist separated and divorced Catholics to help them remain faithful as they resolve the challenges they face because of their divorce and separation. We offer fellowship and resources, and people can find out more about Witness to Marriage and what's available by visiting the Archdiocese website and just searching on support for separated and divorced.
Okay.
We're there for Catholics who are seeking annulments, as well as those who choose not to or were denied an annulment.
And that's so important. I am divorced and my marriage has been annulled, but it's so important to have ministries like this so people know if they're going through these different situations that there is somewhere to go. We need healthy marriages and we need healthy people that are no longer married to know how to live out the faith and be faith-filled. And so, Katherine, I know you represent Catholics for Marriage Restoration and the retreat that is taking place, What God Has Joined. Can you tell us a little bit about this retreat?
Okay. I'll tell you a little bit about Catholics for Marriage Restoration, too, so that people can find us if they need to find people in similar journey.
Yes.
So we are a grassroots group. A lot of us got to know each other through different organizations that we found online, especially during COVID.
Yes.
And sadly, when you find yourself in a divorced and separated situation, the support network might not always be there for you. Sometimes you're far away from family or family doesn't really understand. And so we found each other and supported each other through the journey, helped each other to try and figure out how to turn the quicksand under our feet into solid ground again.
Yes.
And to discern how we are to journey forward. So our group is called Catholics for Marriage Restoration. You can find us online, catholicsformarriagerestoration.com. Four is F-O-R. It's all spelled out. And we have people from all across the U.S. and also other countries who join us
looking
for support. And so a couple of years ago, we were speaking how nice it would be to have a retreat so that we could come together, and people that we had been journeying with for a couple of years, we had never met face to face.
Oh, wow.
And that there's very little support in each of the areas throughout the country. So we started looking and asking different dioceses if they could help us. And the Diocese of Atlanta has been so welcoming, so supportive, and they allowed us and sponsored us with our first retreat last year and have been gracious enough to allow us to have a second retreat
and
this year.
And that is wonderful. So what is the theme of the retreat, What God Has Joined?
So What God Has Joined, it's a retreat that's for separated and divorced Catholics to come together to try and understand what our mission is now in this unexpected state of our marriage. So it's the hope is to find strength and solidarity and a retreat where we can be rejuvenated and reinforced and strengthen our journey with the Lord and our relationship with God so that we can move forward in truth and be the light that He is calling us to be. So we all believe that we are exactly where God intended us to be in this very moment of our lives. And so once we embrace that and start to reflect on what it is that God is calling us to do, we can find some clarity in our situation. And also we can find gifts in it that where we once looked and saw only hardship, heartache, and disappointment, we now find sources of encouragement and growth and strength. So that's what the retreat is for.
It's Wednesday through Friday. So can you kind of break down what's going to be happening within those days and the different talks and conversations that are going to be said?
Sure. So Wednesday is our opening day, and the focus of that day is going to be God's unfailing love and the original design for humanity, what God had intended for humanity. It's an opportunity for us to just reset. It's like, okay, let's remind ourselves where we started, what God's plan was for us. And then we have on day two, the focus will be forgiveness, reconciliation, and healing. We'll also have a community dinner Thursday night. So we're inviting a clergy and lay people from the community to come and get to know our group a little bit better, to walk and to offer support and to just to see what we're about and see where our needs are. And then on Friday, we're going to finish out with the focus on encouragement, commissioning, and sending forth. So what the format is for the retreat is daily mass, confessions, adoration. We'll have talks from different speakers, some laity, some clergy, and we'll have time to reflect. We'll have adoration, meals, and fellowship.
No, that is so nice. And I know there is a mass that will be taking place. Bob, can you tell us about that mass?
Yes. On October 25th, Saturday, Bishop John Tran will be offering Mass at Mary Our Queen Catholic Church in Peachtree Corners, and he will be offering it for the intentions of separated and divorced Catholics. And this is also the second annual Mass that he's done for us. The Mass is for the intentions of separated and divorced Catholics, so anyone interested in praying with us for that intention is welcome. In particular, we would ask people who are separated, divorced, or have friends or family struggling in that area to join us. Following the Mass, we will be hosting a reception where visitors can meet with people who provide support. And last year, Bishop Tran was able to stop by, and he talked with people at the reception for well over an hour.
Wow. That is so nice. And again, it just shows that within the Archdiocese, how welcoming and how they understand that people are going through hard times, right, that have encountered divorce, and the different priests that are coming to the retreat.
Right. And I just wanted to piggyback a little bit on on the Mass that's on Saturday. That's not actually part of the retreat. So it's not just for retreatants. That's actually an archdiocesan Mass. And so hopefully people in their parishes here in Atlanta are hearing about it. And so we hope that they'll join for both. We intentionally scheduled the retreat to coincide with that Mass.
And it's so beautiful.
So that people from other states and that are coming to our retreat will also have the opportunity to do that.
I love it, because Wednesday through Friday, you've got the actual retreat, and then Saturday, you know, the grand finale with the final Mass with the bishop. So
yeah, and the priests in the diocese have been very, very supportive. Yeah. We have several priests that are helping us either with pastoral guidance or talks or confessions, all of that. And most of them are playing more than one role, but we have Father Tip Hepburn, Father David Dupree, Father Jared
Kleinwetter,
Father Arturo Merriman, and then our new judicial vicar in Atlanta is also going to help.
Awesome.
And he's going to help with pastoral guidance and a talk and overall support for our retreat. So we're very, very blessed to have all of them.
Who do you all want to come to the retreat? Is it just those that are struggling with divorce, that are divorced, or is it for maybe family members that might encounter somebody in their family that is divorced?
So probably those who would gain the most from our retreat would be the separated and divorced faithful.
Yeah.
They don't even necessarily have to be Catholic.
Okay.
Just people who are separated and divorced and would like to take some time to step away from the chaos that their life is
yes.
now and to get a framework around it, to get centered again on their faith and God's plan in their life, and to take some time to find others to network with mm-hmm. and develop a support network that can journey forward with them. Because
beautiful.
Not only do we do this retreat with CFMR, but we try to have Zoom calls and other gatherings, usually virtual online ones, throughout the year, because it's nice to have a retreat and you get rejuvenated, but throughout the year.
Having a community.
Right. You need that additional support.
So, Catherine, what are some of the speakers that are going to be there at the retreat?
Well, we're really excited about our speakers this year. Patrick Metz is going to be helping us again. He's from the Archdiocese of Atlanta. He'll be the MC and doing some talks for us. And Father Nathaniel Block, who is the spiritual director for CFMR, will be doing a talk for us. And then we have various other speakers and presenters who are well-versed in theology of the body and leading international groups supporting separated and divorced. And they'll be speaking during our retreat. And you can find out more details on our website about
Wonderful.
Them.
So if people want to get more information about the retreat, where could they go?
Well, they can either go to the Atlanta Archdiocese website or they can go to our website, CatholicsForMarriageRestoration.com, and look at the 2025 retreat. On our website, you can also look back to see what we had last year, uh-huh. give you some idea of what we've done in our ministry, and reach out to us.
We have it on our Quest calendar as well. Thank you so much, Bob Abeka and Catherine Anderson, for coming and talking about the beautiful retreat and that wonderful Mass taking place on Saturday with the Bishop.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Did you know that you could spend 1 hour each week in Eucharistic adoration praying for the Quest and all who listen? We have a beautiful chapel here, and we have adoration from Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we are looking for new guardians. So to sign up, click Contact Us at thequestatlanta.com.
The Morning Quest continues on AM 1160, The Quest.
Father Reback, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene Church in Noonan, Georgia, is back, and he is going to be diving into the gospel. Good morning, Father.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Great. How are you?
Sorry. I'm good. I'm good. I was a little under the weather last week. For those of you who missed me, I was just a little sick. Thank you, Allison and Josh, for, you know, easily filling in for me while I was out.
You know, it's interesting, Father. I sent Allison a text message the night before, and I said,
That You're flaky taking... Father Revac's probably not going to show up tomorrow.
Well, we knew you were under the weather, and I was just like, well, Allison, just a reminder, gospel reflection tomorrow, you're taking the lead. she was genuinely not thrilled. But
she probably stayed up all night researching, doing her homework on whatever the gospel was.
I mean, I should have let you know. I mean, I would have assumed you just would have known I was kidding.
See,
but
I did not.
But she didn't. Apparently, she did go into like midterm mode.
Full panic.
She was cramming. Yeah. And the
awesome.
Next day, she was forcing a smile, but struggling with some frustration.
Right.
Yeah. So we got the pro back. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Yeah. Well, sure. That certainly profound. I do get paid for reading the gospel. So, anyways, let's read the gospel.
Beautiful.
It's going to be Luke 11, 5 through 13. Jesus said to his disciples, suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him. He says in reply from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and for the one who knocks the door will be open. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have a problem here. You know, Jesus says, what friend, suppose a friend gets up, goes at midnight and knocks on his buddy's door. I would say that's no friend at all. Mm. You don't go knocking on my door at midnight. don't do that. That's going to wake me up. I'm going to be grumpy, and I'm not going to give you what you want because I'm grumpy. This is good. You know, we oftentimes do not exercise persistence in prayer, and we don't understand what to pray for. And this gospel kind of gives us a kind of an understanding of both, how to be persistent. Well, what are we looking for in persistence? I have a part of my own vocation story. When I left ministry, went and joined the police academy for Cobb County. One of the reasons that I think I'm a priest, okay, well, still a priest today, is because of persistence in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I left ministry thinking seeking God's will. I was very far from accurate in that, which is why the conclusion I kind of came to is, okay, well, I need to leave. I need to step away from this. But I didn't just leave it there. Like, I spent the whole year that the bishop had given me to kind of figure myself out,
yeah.
Persistent in prayer. Lord, I really, really, really do want to do what you want me to do. And I really, really want what you want me to want, right? Like, that was the prayer the whole time. And as that year was coming up and I really needed to make a decision whether I was going to stay or go, I doubled down on that, that persistence of prayer and I said, Lord, this or that, I need to know this or that. And I prayed so hard, so sincerely for 3 days.
Wow.
And then when I woke up on the morning of that third day, I couldn't wait to go to work to resign and then call the bishop.
Wow.
I'm coming back, you know, and that didn't happen overnight. I didn't just say a prayer once at the beginning. Lord, why is my life so hard? Poor me, boo hoo. Yeah. I'm not happy doing what I'm doing, whatever. And then forget it and then wonder why God didn't answer my prayer. Right. There was no buy-in. So there's time in fasting, I think, kind of like in prayer. There's time in fasting. You either pray for a really long time or you skip the time and you fast. You know, so fasting kind of like compresses the amount of time, maybe, if you want to talk about it in terms of like an economy of relationship with the Lord. Like, okay, I need to pray about this for either a long time because the Lord is going to slowly shape me into the answer he wants to give me, which takes time. As we all know, growing up, building character takes time. And that's essentially when the Lord answers our prayers, that's essentially what he's doing. He's not changing himself to what we want to do. He's actually changing us to want what he wants so that we think, oh, God gave me what I wanted. And what he really did was he changed my perspective and my heart on the thing so that I feel like I got the thing that I wanted. Right. And this is actually the second thing. If I can just put a pin in that economy conversation there for a second and suggest that a lot of times, so there's the persistence in prayer, but also the good that God gives us, that what Jesus says at the end, he says, if you then who are wicked know how to give good things to your children, what's he talking about? He's talking about fish and eggs, okay, food, like good things. How much more will your Father in heaven give specifically the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He doesn't say, how much more will the Father give in heaven money to those who ask, give prestige to those who ask, give understanding and relief from their persecutors for those who ask? No, the Holy Spirit, right? And it kind of indicates if we're praying for anything other than the Holy Spirit, we're wrong. We're praying for the wrong thing.
So Father,
go ahead. I've talked a lot.
It's good stuff, Father.
You've inspired me.
It's good stuff.
So you're saying I shouldn't say, God, want what I want for me. How about that one? No?
That's right.
That's not
That's right.
Okay, how about this one? How about, listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. What about
that's very good. I like that one. I've never heard that one.
Two worst prayers ever uttered on the quest.
Josh would be the one surprising, Father.
You know what, though? Okay, so St. Augustine has a quote that I pulled up.
Augustine.
Perfect. So this is, you just nailed it, Father, by the way. I mean, that vocation story of yours is such a home run. I hope that is echoed from the mountaintops, because that is applicable to so many life situations.
Oh, yeah.
But
Saint Augustine.
There you go.
Augustine is a doctor of the church.
Saint Augustine says, God does not delay to hear our prayers because he has no mind to give, but that by enlarging our desires, he may give us the more largely. So in that time, you know, in that kind of dark night, it sounds like he was fortifying your character and enlarging your desires to unite with his.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. He's putting a wall up like a container around the area that we would call my desire, and then expanding that capacity. And then he changed that desire. This is the hard part. This is the answer to the prayer. This is the real miraculous work of the Lord. He changed my desire to what he wanted for me, because it was awesome and it was better than what I was expecting or hoping for or understanding for myself. He's like, my child, you've asked me for an egg, but far from giving you a scorpion when you ask for an egg, I'm going to give you a McDonald's, you know, and what little kid is like, no, I wanted an egg, not a McDonald's, you know, he has to change our ability to receive that.
Yeah.
Before we can do it. And that's where the persistence comes in. Lord, answer my prayers. Lord, answer my prayers. Lord, answer my prayers. But if our heart is clinging desperately to a very specific fulfillment of our prayer, which is what we do with genies, he won't abuse our will and break us. He'll wait until we give up that white knuckling for that particular answer.
Yeah.
And then he'll say, now, my child, may I work in you what you don't even know you want done.
Wow. Well said. Thank you so much, Father Michael Rivack, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene in Noonan, Georgia. This has been a profound reflection. We're so grateful for you.
Happy to be here, guys. Great to see Alice and Josh.
Thank you. Check this story out. In Houston, one private boys' school is taking a bold stance on smartphones. How about this? Western Academy has announced, bring a phone to school and we will destroy it.
Look at that.
Wow.
That sounds
good. Headmaster Jason Herbert said the policy comes after witnessing years of harm from these devices, you know, the harm that it can cause, from violent videos to reckless online behaviors. So, first offenses, yet suspended, and phone destruction. First offenses lead to suspension and phone destruction. Repeated violations mean expulsion.
Wow.
Well, they laid down the law. If you bring it in, but again, they're so addictive, so I can totally see how kids would bring them. Hello, and then chop, chop.
Yeah, the school, known for its all-male faculty and hands-on outdoor learning, emphasizes respect, responsibility, real-world consequences. Plus, you get this, they like climbing trees, building forts, and poetry contests. Never thought those three things would be in the same sequence of events. Parents are actually on board, though. They praise the benefits of a phone-free childhood.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, as the headmaster puts it, the truth is these devices are severely hurting kids. We're giving them a life without it.
That's awesome.
Beautiful.
Later on The Morning Quest.
Liz Youngs and Trini Siegel with PATH are talking about their mentorship program at upcoming Rachel's Vineyard Retreat, taking place October 17th through 19th. Remember our memory verse, Psalm 139. 13 through 14, you form my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My very self, you know. But next, our buddy Chick Persner helps to get acquainted with St. Denis.
AM 1160, The Quest. Your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the saint.
It's 8:37.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. October 9th marks the optional memorial of St. Denis and his companions, all of whom were martyred in the mid-200s as a result of the Christian persecutions. St. Denis was born in Rome. We don't know precisely when, sometime in the early 200s, very safe to say. He was a missionary priest who was believed to have been the first bishop of Paris. He was beheaded in the year 258 for his Christian faith by pagans on what is now known as the Montmartre, or the Mount of Martyrs.
Oh.
Also beheaded on that fateful day were his aforementioned companions, Eleutherinus and Rusticus, a priest and a deacon, respectively.
Oh, wow.
According to St. Gregory of Tours, and fortunately we have him in that he captured, and it was the biographer, for lack of a better term, of St. Denis, the history of the Franks, Historica Francorum is his book. Denis was one of the seven bishops sent to Gaul to convert the people in the reign of the Roman Emperor Decius, a bad character, as we know from prior segments, right up there with Emperor Diocletian. Relatively little is known of his life, but he was indeed, as mentioned, martyred during the persecution of Christians, ultimately by the Roman Emperor Valerian, once again in the year 258. In the 7th century, his relics, which had been found shortly before by the King Dagobert I, were moved to the Abbey of St. Denis near Paris. In the 9th century, Hildune, abbot of St. Denis, translated the mystical works of Pseudo-Dionysius, which had been sent to the Emperor Louis I. So we do have some records. A legend recorded in the 9th century recounts that Denis was beheaded on Montmartre, as mentioned, and that his decapitated corpse carried his head to the area northeast of Paris.
Wow.
What is an unbelievable story, where the Abbey of St. Denis was ultimately founded. And that's about 5 miles away. And 5 miles is a pretty brisk and strenuous walk when you have your head attached. So I can't even imagine what that would be like to go 5 miles headless. And again, these stories live on in legend, whether or not they truly happened. Well, I have two thoughts on that matter. If God wanted it to happen,
it could
if
happen.
God willed it to happen, then it would have happened. And my second thought is I do hope one day, please God, to meet St. Denis. And I'm going to ask him if it really happened. But
look at that.
As a result of this tale, St. Denis is often portrayed in art as a decapitated, though evidently living figure. Perhaps you've seen some of this artwork. It's quite bizarre. But he is also venerated as one of the 14 Holy Helpers, which is an assemblage of saints who were especially popular in the Middle Ages for their powers of intercession.
He is the patron saint of Paris and France, and also patron saint of possessed people. He is also invoked against frenzy, headaches, hydrophobia, rabies, and strife. So what a variety.
Quite a variety of afflictions and ailments and maladies. Yeah. And, you know, once again, proving our church has a sense of humor in some respects, and that he would be the patron saint of those who suffer from headaches.
Yes.
And given the current state of the world, there are undoubtedly many seeking his intercession these days for relief with regard to headaches. And in fact, in what I can only describe as an odd coincidence, in that I never get headaches. Later this afternoon, yesterday, in fact, I began to suffer from a fairly mild one myself.
And
perhaps that was St. Denis who was trying to gain my attention as well as my intercessory prayer. And he was successful. The headache, I am happy to report, is gone. But this, you know, it sent me down the headache rabbit hole, because I don't, as someone who never gets them, I don't really know much about them. So onto WebMD I went, and, you know, headaches can be more complicated than many people realize. There are different types of headaches, as many of our listeners no doubt know. They can have their own set of symptoms. They can happen for unique reasons.
Yes.
And in turn require different treatment alternatives. Common types of headaches include tension headaches, migraine headaches, and the undoubtedly extra horrid cluster headache. Have you ever heard of a cluster headache?
I have never heard of a cluster headache.
According to WebMD, can result in intense burning or piercing pain behind or around one eye. Can be throbbing or constant, and the pain can be so intense that many people who suffer from cluster headaches can't sit still, instead opting to pace around during the attacks. It's a terrible thing. We need to pray for these people in a particular way today and seek St. Denis's intercession. There are, of course, chronic daily headaches that some people suffer from, sinus headaches, post-traumatic headaches, even exercise headaches. The list goes on. And not to belabor this point, lest I give every listener here a headache on my own, the There is something also called an ice pick headache. Hmm. And I'll just leave it at that rather than get into that. I can imagine how painful an ice pick headache might be. But you know, the modern-day Christian, to bring this all to bear and the point of all of this, is the modern-day Christian is no stranger to headaches.
Yes.
You know, whether it be the interior battle with such things as guilt or scrupulosity, overcoming anti-Christian sentiment in the workplace, or perhaps even with one's own family, you know, and maybe it's that perpetually difficult person in your life, the one who seems intent on robbing you of your inner peace. So if you're going through something like that today, and before that, I'd like to point out a great quote from author Craig Lonsborough, who once said, "People don't need to have a head in order to give someone a headache."
Listen to that one. Oh, wow.
But, you know, prayer is the antidote, is the headache antidote. You know, we must remember that. And again, on this day when we remember St. Denis and all he did for our church in the early days.
Yeah.
We remember the prayer, the sacraments. I mean, it's just such a great month, the month of October. You know, we're reminded early in the month to call upon our guardian angel.
Yes.
And, you know, I've said it before in these segments. I feel as though I neglect my guardian angel, so I've been working on that. What I've decided to do is just tack a couple prayers to my guardian angel on the back end of my rosary. That way I'll remember them.
Yes.
Got the month of the rosary, which is, you know, such the most perfect prayer. You know, the Holy Mass is, of course, probably what some would call a prayer. These are the great anecdotes to our headaches and to life's headaches.
Definitely life's headaches, right? Yeah.
Do you suffer from headaches much?
You know, I do get them sometimes. It's interesting. Last Friday after the show, I just wasn't feeling well. My head was kind of bothering me, so I went home and slept. But it's so funny because after you're talking about headaches, I went to a website, Healthline, and it talks about some ways that you can help your headache. And it says soothe pain with a cold compress. And it's funny because you know what I do? I put my head in a heating pad. So I do completely opposite. Oh. And it usually helps. But usually it helps it go away, or taking a nice hot shower.
If that works for you, though, maybe a combination of cold and heat back and forth.
Yeah. Who knows? But it's interesting, too, because I was looking at some different reasons and causes of headaches. And so here it shows lack of sleep, dehydration, caffeine withdrawal, nutrient deficiency, and under eating. I think mine is probably lack of sleep, or maybe even caffeine withdrawal. Sometimes I'll have my unsweet tea every morning, and if I don't drink my unsweet tea,
that's sometimes the one I'm most worried about. I know Josh gave up caffeine.
Yes.
God bless him for that.
But yes.
As the famous quote goes, beer is proof that God wants us to be happy. And caffeine and coffee is proof of God's mercy. Because I don't know what I would do if I began to stop drinking coffee. I feel like I drink it by the gallon.
Yeah.
Strong and black all day long.
See,
at least into the afternoon.
Well, I'm telling you. So if you have headaches and if you drink a lot of caffeine and you stop drinking caffeine, that can it can bring a headache on.
Yeah. Let's keep all those folks who suffer from headaches in our prayers today. And let's just give thanks once again for this great early church martyr. We celebrate so many of them on the liturgical calendar, and they're always amongst my favorites whenever I see a birth date around 258 or 302. You know, we're talking about, you know, the likes of our saint today, St. Denis. We talk about the Virgin Martyr saints so often in these segments. They come up over and over again. In fact, I was looking at the secular calendar, and I noticed that October the 13th is National Breast Cancer Awareness Day. My thoughts immediately went to St. Agatha, who's the patroness of those who suffer from breast cancer, as we're preparing future segments. And, of course, the other saints, Agnes, Perpetua and Felicity, Lucy, all these great early saints who died for our faith so that it would live on and we'd be able to celebrate our faith and still practice today vibrantly.
Yeah. So many prayer partners, you know, so many, you know, whatever case, whatever struggles you have, there is a patron saint out there more than likely that can intercede and assist you in.
Oh yeah.
In those areas.
Quick Google search can find them, or you listen to AM 1160 The Quest around 8:30 every morning and we'll get around
to it. Absolutely.
So, and let's remember too, I firmly believe that a saint's intercession on his or her feast day is particularly powerful. So with that in mind, St. Denis and companions.
Pray for us.
We are joined by Liz Youngs and Trini Siegel with PATH, talking about their mentorship program and upcoming Rachel's Vineyard Retreat taking place October 17th through 19th. So glad y'all are with us.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, yeah. We're thrilled you're here because this is a very important topic that I think sometimes gets pushed to the side. So ladies, many people may not realize how deeply abortion can affect both women and men. What are some of the common struggles you see people carrying years later?
Well, I'd say the first thing is that they're trying to prove themselves because
they inherently, you know that they've done something wrong, and they feel unworthy. They feel unworthy of God's love that can keep them away from church or for any type of spiritual activity, even praying. Also, it affects their relationships. Well, we're going to go into that a little bit later, but
Sometimes, you know, they're just irritable and full of rage, but they don't really, they can't pinpoint why. Things just get on their nerves. You know, being uncomfortable around babies, baby showers, if they're invited to something like that, being around pregnant women, you know, in the news, there's also a lot of talk about abortion, you know, pro-life, pro-abortion. So that makes them very uncomfortable and, go ahead, James.
Well, I was going to say, you bring up a good point. Like, there are these triggers, right? And I've been outside praying outside of an abortion clinic, and a friend of mine who is definitely a rock star in the pro-life world, share that somebody came up to her and said, "Why were you not out here when I came here years ago and had this?" And she apparently, every year, she knows to the day, like, when this child, I mean, I guess she's hypothesizing when this child would be born, and the ache that that causes, you know, just around that time of the year, right? There are so many little triggers that get embedded as a result.
I mean, the body remembers, you know, and so oftentimes the anniversary dates, due dates, things like that, definitely, And women and men might not even realize when that date rolls around, but they start feeling kind of weird or you know, withdrawn. And but it's because of that due date. Like I said, the body remembers.
Wow.
And that's scientifically proven now, that the body does hold on to that trauma. So you can be more accident prone. I remember my baby would have been due in November. And looking back, after going through my healing and actually going back through my life, I was very accident prone in November. I had several car accidents in November.
Wow.
So, and also, you know, the depression, all of a sudden you just feel kind of, you know, like in a slump, you don't know why, you know, and it's that anniversary date, either the anniversary date of the abortion or of when the child would have been born.
So how does the ripple effect of abortion impact families and relationships beyond just the person who had that procedure? Because I know that definitely is the case.
Well, oftentimes the mom or the dad or both, they do have other children. Maybe they have other children after the abortion, or sometimes they have the children before an abortion occurs, but they have failure to bond with their living children. They feel the guilt, or they feel like, you know, they've done something so inherently wrong that they're afraid that, you know, they just can't trust their judgment, can't trust their decision makings. The ripple effect would be, this is more so in men, but it can also occur in women, is just domestic violence. Kevin Burke, who is the husband of Dr. Teresa Burke, who wrote Rachel's Vineyard, he wrote a book called The Tears of the Fisherman. And in his book, he talks about men who are in prison for very violent crimes, rape, murder, just very violent crimes. Most of them, what was it, Trini? Like 90% have been participated in at least one abortion. And that's pretty profound.
That is.
And praise God you can identify this and put a spotlight on it, because, you know, once you can see the problem, you can offer solutions. So let's talk about your one-on-one mentorship program. What can someone expect when they reach out to PATH?
Well, first I want to say that probably over 60% of the abortions performed today are the chemical abortion.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so these are self-managed, you know, they say, do it at home, do it yourself.
Oh, boy.
Abortions by taking a pill. And so these are I don't want to say more traumatic, but they are very traumatic because there's no medical personnel to deal with everything. And I won't get into specifics, but you can only imagine what they're having to deal with, the aftermath. And so thankfully, people are calling us. They're not waiting years because they are so traumatized after these abortions that they're not quite ready for a retreat or a Bible study because the retreat and Bible studies are a very deep dive.
Yeah.
So the one-on-one mentorship, we pair them with a one-on-one, with a mentor that has experienced abortion but has also experienced healing. And, you know, and that's usually where we're a good place for someone that's just starting their healing journey to begin.
That's wonderful. So I know there's a Rachel's Vineyard retreat taking place this month on October 17th. What makes this weekend retreat different from other forms of healing?
Well, this retreat, it's very experiential. It's not like the normal or the majority of retreats where you listen to someone on a topic. You might take notes. You might have some reading in silent time. This is something that you are actually participating in. You are reacting to scripture. It is, and it's specifically designed to heal the wound of abortion. So it does have some similarities with other, you know, healing retreats as far as dealing with forgiveness, etc. But it is also so fine-tuned specifically to heal this wound.
Wow.
And it's really unlike anything else as far as it how specifically it treats everything.
And I did want to say, too, that most people who have experienced abortion, there's a loss there. And that loss has never been grieved. And most people that have experienced abortion don't feel like they have the right to grieve that loss. But and so that's where it just we stay stuck in that wound. And so the retreat also in the Bible study, we will lead them through the grieving process to honor and give that child the dignity that it deserves.
Wow.
So that's extremely important.
Yeah, I know of multiple people who have been on or served the retreat, and it just sounds life-changing from what I've heard. It literally life-changing. I mean, spiritually salvific. The people were just in a complete rut, and it totally excavates them.
Yes, because the wound of abortion is it's just a sin that we feel is the unforgivable. And so, yes, it's definitely life-giving, life-saving, life-changing. And it does call you outside of your comfort zone. But you will get out of it what you put into it. We always tell people to trust the process.
Yeah, and then praise God, then these people can go and do what you're doing and become evangelists for the cause of life and help save babies. You know, I mean it's Romans 8:28 in action. It's a beautiful, beautiful call and a beautiful ministry. Praise God. So for those listening, how can people learn more about PATH or connect with your services?
Well, they can go to our website, which is healingafterabortion.org. They can call us at 404-717-5557, and all communications are confidential.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's extremely important.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a website for the upcoming retreat as well, the Rachel's Vineyard retreat?
To go to that website, or they can just call that number or text me even.
Fantastic.
We still have some positions open for this upcoming retreat, and I would encourage anybody that is listening to this that is post-abortive to trust that God does not want you to stay stuck in the rut and in the place that you are right now. You know, he wants you to experience the forgiveness and the healing. And, you know, once we, because I'm post-abortive too, we rejected the gift of life. Let's not reject the gift of forgiveness and healing.
Wow.
That is so absolutely beautiful. I mean, for many people, decades, what a great thing to do is take that step. That
it was
first
28
step.
Years for me.
28 years. Wow.
So that just means we have a minute left. Didn't mean to sound like there was a bomb threat in the studio.
Okay. It sounded like there was. I'm like,
Wow. Thank you guys so much for your incredible witness. We've been talking with Liz Youngs and Trini Siegel from PATH about their mentorship program and upcoming Rachel's Vineyard retreat taking place October 17th through 19th. For more information, where should they go?
Healingafterabortion.org. 404-717-5557.
And it's on the events calendar, and I'll have the link to their website as well and the phone number on our show notes.
Wow, y'all are doing such important work. We are so grateful. Thank you so much. And let's close this show out the holy way. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.